Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Broadcasting live from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg today, I'm Kelly Sanner, along with the brash youngster, Ben Milam. Producer-engineer Michael Mergens is here today as well. Lots to talk about. Coach Jay Ladner of the men's basketball team will be joining us here momentarily to talk about the great season. It didn't end, obviously, the way that anybody had hoped, but great season nonetheless. And now, going forward, we'll take a look at the landscape of the Southern Miss men's basketball team. We'll go down to NOLA.com, where Patrick McGee will be there telling us how the Saints are restructuring particularly the offensive side of the ball, but things are starting to come into place as part of NFL free agent frenzy. We'll recap the Eagles baseball win last night down in Hammond, where they took care of a pretty good southeastern Louisiana team. They had to feel pretty good about the way they came out of there last night. And then get you up to date with a little bit about a lot of things. The first segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, a fan favorite. Anybody that eats loves Dickie's Barbecue. Don't forget to call on Dickie's for Easter things coming up that can take care of your catering, or if you're headed out to the baseball park, let the cooking be handled by Dickie's, big supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. So you know any money you spend with them, some of that is going to the university. So let's get right to it. Jay Ladner on the phone now. Coach, I know it isn't the way that you wanted it to end, but man, what a season. I mean, you guys went from not literally, but worst to first. I mean, setting all kinds of win records for the school. You win the conference outright. A lot of things to really look forward to. And for the first time probably in a while, quite frankly, now you got basketball players calling you that want to come here. So congratulations on the season. If you want to touch briefly on last night, you can. But then I want to talk about kind of going forward.
Okay. Well, first of all, Kelly and Ben too, Mike, I appreciate y'all as all the time having me on. And, you know, of course we got in late last night, and I've been a head coach for 32 years, and only two of the years have I not had this feeling. And those were, in high school, won the state when I was at St. Stanislaus, won the state championship. You won your last game when I was at Jones Junior College, national championship. We won our last game. And the other 30 of the other 32, you are in a complete mental funk the next day. And you're just kind of – because you're always planning for the next game. As soon as the game's over with, you're looking forward. I mean, we were getting ready to look to go to play Clemson this weekend. But, you know, it just wasn't in the cards. Of course, and I want to in any way avoid any type of excuse because that's just part of the game. But losing Nefta Alvarez right before the South Alabama was very hurtful to us, and not having him, and it kind of disrupted us just a little bit. But, you know, we got beat by a good team last night. Our players and coaches are just were and are, as of this morning, just mentally crushed, emotionally crushed. And, again, I take responsibility for that. We got to try to figure out a way to where we can win our last game. And our goals are big here. And but I'm not going to let, you know, yesterday's breakfast ruin what we do today. And of course, we have we'll mentally and psychologically, emotionally put yesterday's game behind us and say, hey, what do we have to do better moving forward? And I'm so excited, Kelly, about where we are. We've got, for the first time since I've been at Southern Miss, we're now to a point where we can be a lot more selective on the type of players. We've been in a situation where we've had to beg, plead, and borrow, you know, to try to get guys to come and sell them on a dream. Well, now we can show it, and we really feel like that we've got a lot of things in place, and now we can show them videos of this past year where the arena sold out. We can, you know, I mean, right. And I'm so thankful and grateful for those of them, our fans out there. And I know there's a lot of people listening to your show. I'm very, very thankful and grateful to the way that our fans responded to our team this year. And again, feel awful about last night. And
So let's talk about going forward. You mentioned Nefta. He's already publicly said he's coming back. Okay.
So
from the landscape as we see it today, Coach Ladner, and we know that tomorrow things could literally change, but as we look at it today, Alvarez says he's coming back. So who will you have officially coming back as we speak today? And then tell us about some, and not specifically, but when will we start be hearing about new Eagles that will be coming into the fold?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, things have changed so much, Kelly, over, and just to kind of educate the public a little bit, and we did an about face on the way that we recruited last year, and you, of course you probably saw it in action, but it's tough to recruit a high school player these days, and that's not the way I think it should be done. I've been very critical of the NCAA policies, and of course what they tried to do is say that you know, a player can now transfer first without sitting out, so they can sign with you. So let's just say, for instance, you sign a high school player, he comes to your school. Normally it takes a couple of years. They have no high school player ever has understood the transition from high school to Division One. Just the everyday grind, the players, and it takes time to get yourself up to the level of Division One. And the way that it always was is they come in, of course, unless they're just a very exceptional freshman, they're going to play behind somebody. They're going to play behind, and it may be a year or two before they begin to get significant time on the floor. What kids today have been told by a lot of voices in their lives that, oh, you know, you're going to the NBA and this and that, which, of course, does the kid tremendous harm and damage to his development. And that's another story. But so he comes and he doesn't do, or he doesn't play as much. It's not that he doesn't do well. He doesn't, he's part of the process, but he's not on the floor as much as he thinks he should be, or normally the people around him. So therefore he's looking to immediately transfer. Then if you get a player that comes in and does incredibly well at the mid-major level, well, most of the high majors are constantly looking at the mid-majors as a farm club, so to speak, a recruiting, that we're going to recruit off of them whether they're in the transfer portal or not.
They're chicken hawks. They're chicken hawks.
Exactly. And it is a nasty, nasty business.
Yeah.
And so the about face that I did, and the reality was in last year's evaluation, I said, you know, we're gonna try to take it. That's not that we're not recruiting some high school players, because we're recruiting some really good high school players. About to get a public commitment he's committed a public commitment from one of the best players in Louisiana, out of New Orleans. But we're looking at more of guys that are seasoned, guys that are transferred. And the most similar part of my career in terms of recruiting, to put it in perspective, is when I was at Jones Junior College, where you have a big turnover every year, and you're looking at each year's a different team. And that's what I've had to embrace because of the rules, not that I made, but because of what they are. So we've got a heavy emphasis on recruiting graduate transfers. Undergraduate transfers, of course, portal transfers, and then junior college players, because those guys are less likely to transfer.
Right.
And so, therefore, if you look at a lot of the players on our team, our roster, Alvarez, he's not going anywhere because he would have to sit out if he left again. And I'm not saying he's not going anywhere because he likes what's happening. He's big part of it, but these, you know, when you get them after they've transferred, it kind of gets back to where it used to be when the old rule, when they were freshmen, you see, and they don't have that easy out, so to speak. And not that I think any of our guys are looking that direction. I think all of them are tremendously bought in, but you never know.
Right.
Other people, of course, will get in their ear and make some offers to them that may interest them, you know, that type of thing. But
so,
I really like the group that we have come back. We have all of our ones are back. Our point guards are back. Alvarez, Mo Arnold. Our twos are back. Of course, that's Austin Crowley, Donovan Ivory. Our threes are back. Denajay Harris. So we've got a great core of guys coming back for next year's team already. What we've got to do is find a strong plug-and-play four and a plug-and-play five, guys to replace Pinckney and Hase, which are big shoes to fill. But we've got some great things working right now.
Well, we'll get on Amazon, Ben, and Amazon.com. We'll find a plug-in four and a plug-in five, and we'll just order
it. Well, hey, it won't be long. They'll be selling that too, right?
Probably so. Look, Jay, we want to get to some other things, but it would require you hanging out with us for just another commercial break.
Okay, sure.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
And we won't keep you the entire second segment, but I want to get Ben in on the conversation. And just to set you and the listeners up, you know, you're in the last day of your contract is either coming up or it's already been. So to whatever degree you're comfortable sharing with us, you know, not only about your personnel going forward, but where are we in contract talks? Anything official, of course, would have to come from Jeremy McClain. But we'll kind of pick your brain a little bit about that. So much more to talk about with men's basketball coach Jay Ladner on a Wednesday's Eagle Hour. We'll continue after these commercial messages.
Southern Miss to the top.
Segment number two of this Wednesday's Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart in the bright gold building right across from the main campus on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. It is really your one-stop shop. But if you don't want to, you know, get out, you can 24-7 in at 2 o'clock in the morning and have nothing else to do other than have a couple Crystal Burgers for whatever reason. You can get online and shop at campusbookmart.net. That's bookmart with a T, .net. Continuing our conversation with men's basketball coach Jay Ladner. Coach, I got one more question, then I'm going to let Ben, the brash youngster Ben Milam, get in here. We mentioned prior to the break, contract negotiations going on now. You have an agent that's handling talks between you and the university, a.k.a. Right. Jeremy McClain. Whatever you're comfortable sharing with us, can you kind of update us as to where that is, when we may hear something one way or the other?
Well, I would think soon. I have a great agent who's a former basketball guy, but I also want to emphasize that it's an exciting time to be at Southern Miss. I think it's widely known that this is where I want to be. I don't want to go other places and coach. If this doesn't it ever gets to the point that I'm not wanted here anymore, I'll go back and coach high school in this area. Or junior college. I love this area. Of course, I love the challenge of coaching at Division I, and I think we've got a great thing going. But this is where I want it. I'm a South Mississippi boy. I love it and want to be here. And what I say about it's a great time to be at Southern Miss. Joe Paul has got a tremendous momentum. There's a great excitement here. Of course, athletics, football's done great. Coach Hall's got them going. Coach Baseball, Coach Berry, they're a standard of excellence. And it's just a great time to be at Southern Miss. And I feel like basketball was holding us back. And now I feel like that we've got a great momentum going. And Jeremy McClain deserves so much of the credit. And I'm not saying that trying to labor for a few or you know, get for a few more dollars. I'm not saying that. I'd say that if I wasn't here. And,
yeah.
It's fun to see. Now, as far as I'm concerned, my situation, of course, coming to the tail end of my contract, but Jeremy's been very supportive. I'm very thankful that he gave me the opportunity to come back this year, and he's been what I can share. I can't tell you a timeline, but we're working toward that end, and he's been in constant contact with my agent, and
okay,
I look to have something wrapped up here very soon.
All right, true or false, Jay?
Okay.
I don't have you as a money guy over longevity. If your choice was money or longevity, I'm guessing you would opt for longevity. True or false?
Well, of course, I'm like everybody else. I would love to make as much as I can.
Of course,
But longevity is of course one of my goals, and in Mississippi that means 4 years. And then, of course, I would love to see my assistant coaches rewarded.
Very good.
And those were my two priorities with my agent in terms of going in. So not necessarily for myself,
right?
Other than have an opportunity to continue what we're doing. As you know, when you're going into your last year of your contract, you don't have a lot of it, that hurts you in recruiting, because it's funny how everybody else knows that and they use that against you.
Sure.
In terms of recruiting. So, but Jeremy's been great. He's great to work for. The school's great. Love, of course, Joe Paul, and I'm thankful to be the basketball coach here.
All right, Ben, showtime.
Well, well, Coach, I want to zoom out a little bit, and you've talked about just there and in the earlier segment about the fact that it is a great time to be at Southern Miss with the parallels you have leadership wise. You feel like you've got everything situated at the top the way you want it to. I want to talk about this basketball program and how it fits into that picture. I think, and you've talked about this publicly, at the end of last year there were some, you know, doubt of whether Southern Miss could get back to consistent success basketball-wise. And now this past year, you have that proof of concept. You've proved you can fill up Reed Green, and you can do it in modern basketball, in the portal era and all that kind of stuff. After this year, how do you feel? Has it changed at all about how you feel about the potential of Southern Miss basketball? What excites you about the future?
Well, I think you touched on some good points right there, and I think a lot of people, Ben, you know, I was told, y'all probably heard, oh, they'll never fill it up again like they used to in the 80s. It'll never be like that again. Not just with me. Go back to Coach Sadler, it'll never be like that again. And we were able to, and yet we continued to say, yes, we can, and we can do that. And, of course, it happened a lot faster after last season. It happened a lot faster this season. It was amazing how quickly it got back up to that point, and our fan base deserves, again, a ton of credit. But yes, I not only do I know it. We can win at a high level. There are a lot of things that I think that we've got to address. We need to, you know, our facility is now that I've had a chance to tour the league, you know, we're way behind in facility. I'm not real. Us and Louisiana Monroe are two schools that you know, are way behind. We played in some incredible facilities in our league, and so yes, there has to be some stuff done on the community side, university side, I think, to continue to sustain the success. But we are getting, and of course I can't because of NCAA regulations, but if I could really tell you that Big 12 starters at schools in the Big 12, starters at schools in the Big 10, starters at schools in the Pac-12, of all of a sudden Southern Miss has become more of returning to a national brand, style of play, the emphasis on family and the way that they're treated here, skill development. Of course, they get a great education. The guys graduate. All those things that, and we use the term adding value, Ben. You can come to Southern Miss and add value to yourself.
Yeah.
When you move forward. And then, of course, getting you on the floats. All of our players that are going to leave this year are going to go sign professional contracts. Every single one of them. And you look at, Coach, what about Nico Aguirre? Nico Aguirre will sign a professional contract. Of course, some of them are going to be bigger than others. Felipe, DeAndre. They're going to have great. They'll be able to play basketball for a long time and make a lot of money at it, whether it be in the NBA or the season. And we have all that in place for them too, and contacts. And so the pieces of the pie have finally come together, and we're excited about where it's heading. We've got as I mentioned earlier in the show, we've got a great group of players coming back to build off of, whereas last year it felt like a total rebuild. Now we've got some continuity going in our program, and now we just need specific needs. But it's really exciting, some of the opportunities that we've got going on right now in recruiting that we're very, very close to sealing already.
Well, I'm glad you touched on facilities there, because a part of why I think it's exciting to be a Golden Eagle is because there is an alignment with the community too. What Toby Barker has done,
yeah,
and the city moving forward. I mean, you mentioned those facilities. The city is you know, hand in hand with Southern Miss in improving some of those facilities for use of both the city and Southern Miss. A whole lot to be excited about at the top.
Well, I could get on that. Of course, growing up in Hattiesburg, Ben, I could get up, get on that. We could do a couple of shows on that if you want me to, because we missed out. And when growing up here, you know, there used to be all kind of, you know, y'all know I'm a big live music guy. Kelly is too.
Yeah, you're a kid of the '60s, man.
Yeah, I am. And you're growing up here in the '70s and '80s. You know, there used to be all kind of some of the biggest musical acts in the country would come through and play Reed Green, and then we let the coast. And of course, this is a community deal. We let the coast build the Coast Coliseum, and how many? And I'm talking about with a B. How many billions of dollars has that cost the city of Hattiesburg in terms of economic impact since the '70s? We're talking about billions. And somebody at that time didn't have any vision. And growing up here, there was a disconnect. Toby Barker's awesome. Toby Barker's 100% in. He's a black and gold Southern Miss guy. And so we've got things going now. And, of course, there was a tax passed a few years ago, anxious for all that to come to fruition. And we need it to happen to help us to sustain our success. So men's basketball has an opportunity at Southern Miss, because of the money that can be brought in through the NCAA tournament and postseason play, to become, you know, to really become something special here. And if you look at schools like Gonzaga and people like that, that's what they did. You know, I'd never heard of Gonzaga in the '80s. Nobody else had either. But they made a commitment. Their school made a commitment. They built a new facility. They put an emphasis on it. And all of a sudden, look what it's done for their school and their community there. And that's a great example, but that's something that we can do here.
And when you look at basketball, too, overhead-wise, your expense-wise, right, it's the least expensive of really all the sports.
You can get there and for a minimal investment. Look at Loyola Chicago a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The economic impact that they had that particular year and that run to the Final Four, and if you look at what it did for their admission to their schools, the graduate schools as well as their undergraduate, the amount you couldn't buy that type of public relations.
Yeah, but they also had Sister Jean, Coach.
That's right. Sister Jean needs to be doing some more prayers. She needs to be praying more this year because the Ramblers didn't have quite as good a year. But that was what a great story that was.
Hey, Jay Ladner has won at the high school level. He's won a national championship at the junior college level. Why in the world would anybody think he can't coach at this level, Jay? Continued success, buddy. Thanks so much.
Ben and Kelly, thank y'all. And Kelly, if I don't see you, I'll see you on the 15th.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
All right, brother. Thank you.
And that was a live music reference as well. Yeah, we do enjoy some good live music. When we come back, we're going to go to NOLA to find out what's going on with Jay Ladner's favorite team, the New Orleans Saints. Final segment today. Ben will get us up to date as how the baseball game went last night. We'll break that apart. The Eagles win on the road, getting ready for their first Sun Belt Road Series. Conference play begins this weekend. More of the Eagle Hour in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Rocking and rolling on a hump day Wednesday as we start our downhill slide toward the weekend. This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. They are going to be having trivia tonight, and Booty is your trivia master. Booty's also the bartender, but some great trivia going on tonight where they're, as Michael says in the spot, so they're always giving away prizes there. And then, of course, Friday is St. Patrick's Day. So they'll be having drink specials. Imagine that, drink specials on St. Patrick's Day. That's coming up Friday. 4th Street Bar and Grill, it's the place to pregame if you're a Southern Miss fan. Joining us now from NOLA.com is Patrick McGee, where it is NFL free agent frenzy. Lots of things going on. The Saints have a starting quarterback, and now it's not Andy Dalton, but they also have a backup quarterback. Let's find out what's going on in New Orleans, Patrick. Get us up to date as to what's happening in the Saints front office.
Yeah, I think everybody was kind of surprised whenever Jameis Winston agreed to come back as the backup quarterback. I think it was, an $8 million deal. I don't have it right in front of me right now. And Winston posted a tweet this morning explaining that he feels really connected to the city of New Orleans. And, you know, he said he believes he's still a championship starting quarterback, but he wanted to come back to New Orleans because it's a good fit for him culturally, just the community and everything else. And it's a bonus for the Saints. I mean, as long as Winston is healthy as a backup this year, you're in pretty good shape if Derek Carr goes down for a game or two, you know. So, yeah, it makes sense. It's a little surprising Some Saints are coming back. They expected to go. You know, Michael Thomas is coming, has re-signed and will be back for next season. And if he's healthy, you know, a healthy Michael Thomas is the difference between a 10-11 win team and a 12-13 win team. I mean, he's that good. On the field. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, he's been hurt, but I mean, before he got this little plague injury the last 2 or 3 years, he was on the field. He was a durable guy. So the Saints just hope things kind of break the right direction. Obviously, I think he's currently healthy at the moment, to where he can get back and help him.
Yeah, if he's healthy, capitalized, underlined 2 or 3 times.
Right.
But the Saints this morning taking care of some defensive needs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they signed Nathan Shepard of the Jets, a defensive tackle, and they signed another big defensive tackle, 6 foot, 324-pounder, Kalen Saunders from the Chiefs, who actually had a really big season this year for the Chiefs. I think it was around about, you know, 40-plus, close to 50 tackles, 3.5 sacks. He's a guy that moves really well for someone his size. And, you know, maybe those guys aren't necessarily, they think, hey, there are starters day one, or, you know, they're game changers, but they're guys that they plug into the rotation. They're really solid, good players. So they lost a couple of important, you know, Onyemata is gone. And so they had another defensive tackle they lost as well. So they had gaps to fill there. And then Shepherd and Saunders, they bring in guys that can contribute right away and are going to play a bunch. And I expect them to still probably go after a defensive tackle in the draft.
Well, I'm curious, as the Saints add these pieces, I would imagine the outlook, or maybe it doesn't on the inside, but the outlook changes a little bit in terms of how you think about the draft coming up at the end of April. How do you think these pieces being added over the last couple of weeks changes the approach for the Saints there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, quarterback becomes much, much less of a priority now. They could probably go in the third or fourth round and possibly still go there, maybe Hendon Hooker if he's still around. But you don't want to go too high with that pick. I think they still go after receiver and defensive tackle, even though they've made it, you know, they brought Thomas back for another season. They've got these two guys. I think they realize they need another really quality guy for depth on the defensive line. I think defensive end is a spot they're going to be looking at. Marcus Davenport is signed with the Vikings. I think a lot of the same deals they're going to go after, even though they've made these moves, they're going to probably add a quarterback at some point in the draft to kind of look towards the future, and they need to add another receiver to have more depth on the outside.
Patrick, if we're playing a quick game, and Ben gets you involved here too, in buying and selling, let's look at that NFC South. Right now, you'd have to be buying the Panthers and selling the Buccaneers. Yes, we'll start with you, Patrick.
Baker Mayfield this morning has signed with the Buccaneers, so I'm not buying the Buccaneers.
Right.
The Panthers defensively are going to be good. They're going to be quite good. Offensively, they may be a mess. But, you know, they're probably, I would think right now, the Panthers would be probably the second most competitive team in the division outside of the Saints.
What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think clearly the Panthers probably have their best roster here in the last four or five years, especially defensively. I've always kind of been a Baker Mayfield fan, so that will be interesting to see if he finally finds the place where he fits, because I think if he finds the right fit, I think he can be a competitive quarterback. But because of, you know, there is so much uncertainty there, you probably sell the Bucs.
But Andy Dalton now goes from New Orleans to Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, he knows that division. So I just think with some of the things that Carolina seems to be doing, and the Falcons are loading up.
Sure.
I mean, they signed Von Bell, I think, from the Bengals, who used to be with the Saints. So as miserable as that division was last year, Patrick, it looks like upgrades so far pretty much all around, except arguably the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think in Atlanta they've had a lot of talent, but I've also been kind of concerned with where they're spending their money. It just seems like they're throwing a lot of money around at positions that aren't going to really produce wins this season. Maybe they're building within the next 2 or 3 years where they get a quarterback in place, that they're going to be a division contender. But right, you know, it's going to be tough for them this season. Defensively, they'll probably be solid. But the Buccaneers, Mayfield's got, you know, still that potential, but everybody's been waiting for that potential for quite some time. But if I had to put a pecking order in NFC South right now, it'd be Saints, Panthers, Falcons, and Buccaneers.
Well, in terms of how the ownership balances the salary cap and all this stuff, I mean, there's a lot around the Saints that people are, A, confused about, because that's, I mean, talking about myself there, because I don't fully understand how it works. And you kind of dance around the salary cap, it seems like, every year in New Orleans. Yeah. And Patrick, I'm sure you saw Nick Wright kind of, I think earlier this week, was talking about the ownership and how it's irresponsible and how they haven't balanced that well. How do you look at that, and can you explain how the Saints ownership has balanced that salary cap and staying under it, getting over it, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, somebody like him, I mean, they're just like visibly angry. I don't know what they're so angry about. It's really, the Saints are converting a lot of this into just, you know, just guaranteed money right up front. I mean, they're just saying, hey, we'll give you X amount, you know, right now, and it's just stuff they can kick down the road. I mean, they just work around this salary cap every year. This is what they've been doing for years now. This isn't something that just started in the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, when Drew Brees was in town, they were doing a lot of the same things. So the Saints have got a way to work around it. Now, things could get complicated if management changes and a new GM comes in and he's got a different mode of operation, you know. So that's the problem, is that as long as they kind of, you know, continue on this path, they're fine. But if somewhere along the way, Mickey Loomis is no longer there, Kai, I forget his last name, Hartley or whatever, he's kind of the guru in terms of salary cap. If they go, whoever comes behind them has got a bit of a mess or something they're going to figure out themselves. So, you know, long term, it's a little bit awkward, but they keep making it work.
But really, in fairness, don't a lot of NFL teams do this? I mean, they restructure contracts, or they'll go back to the quarterback or the big money guys and say, look, we want to move some things around. So kind of like the U.S. debt, does this really exist? Or is it just something they just kind of play with? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing unusual. I think the Saints just do a little bit more so than other teams every year. So I don't know. Everybody thinks they have an idea on how teams should win now. They thought the Saints should blow it up and just give up for this year and move on. But obviously, Gail Benson and current management wants to stay competitive. They just don't want to wave the white flag this season for the, you know, possibly winning 3 or 4 years down the road.
Final question.
Final question,
Patrick, before we let you go. And I know you are just busting with anticipation, the USFL season right around the corner, and those New Orleans Breakers getting ready to play their games in Birmingham.
I suppose it's going to happen next month or something. I just make it go away. I mean, there can only be one spring. There can only be one spring league. I mean, they haven't been able to make one work forever. So, I mean, why they're trying to is just beyond me.
It makes perfect sense. Always good to hear from you, Patrick. Thanks so much for your input and your insight.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee from NOLA.com, NOLA.com. So the Saints are busy, and again, as we've talked about, Ben, some Southern Miss guys on the move. I incorrectly the other day said that Mike Thomas had re-signed with the Bengals. He actually was still in the AFC North, but he's being reunited with Todd Monken.
That's right.
In Baltimore.
Yeah.
So he's going to be playing for Baltimore. In our final segment, we're going to talk about Southern Miss's win last night on the baseball field against the Lions of Southeastern. A reminder, that you can find us if you can't watch us or listen to us live. You can pick us up on podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or just tell Alexa to play Super Talk Eagle Hour. A shout out to Mobay Beignet, the official beignet store. That's just right up the road from Miss Kathleen and them at Campus Bookmart. Great iced coffees, flavored syrups that you can dip your beignets in. Little taste of New Orleans, though better in the Hattiesburg area. Again, the Eagles win last night on the baseball field. Ben will look inside the numbers, and we'll tell you where the Eagles go from here baseball-wise. In our final segment of the Eagle Hour, it's just moments away. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Wrapping up a Thursday edition, segment four, brought to you by D1 and DBAT Training. Colder temperatures don't mean that you have to be off the field, so to speak. You can be in the comfort of D1 and DBAT Training, getting your softball or baseball swing down. All the different pitching machines can be set on different types of pitches, changeups, curveballs, whatever you want to hit. They can set that up for you. And don't forget their award-winning pro shop that they've got there, too. Also, a shout-out today to Jana King, the King of Clean. The team at Jana King has been working together for over 35 years, cleaning your places for work, education, medical attention, eateries, stadiums, and worship. You can go to JanaKingCleans.com.
Nailed it today.
I'm sounding like Paul Harvey now, aren't I, Michael?
And now, the rest of the store.
Remember, Jana King Cleans. .com.
Stand by for news.
Do you know who Paul Harvey is?
I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't.
Now you're feeling old, Mergens.
I've felt old since my daughter was born, but
Paul just, Harvey.
Yes, the brash youngster.
Steve Harvey. Google that.
That's why you're the brash youngsters, because you don't know who Paul Harvey is.
All right.
Well, Ben, earn your keep here. Southern Miss.
Oh, boy.
Good win last night for the Eagles on the road down in Hammond.
Man, a great win. This was, you needed this to be a bounce back outing, because there were, you won two out of three against Valpo, but there were, some concerns, I think, on just continued concerns about the bullpen and offensively at the plate. But I think you bounce back in a strong way. And we talked about yesterday as we talked to Coach Reiser, a really good ball club in southeastern Louisiana. They're going to make some noise. They are probably going to win the Southland again,
right?
Or at least the favorite as of right now. And I mean, the first question we posed was, first of all, who pitches starting-wise, and then is the bullpen going to be good enough to compete with a lineup like that that has competed against really good staffs? And they did. Billy Oldham gives you five innings of really good starting pitching, and he bases loaded jams in two of his first three innings, and got out of them both with just one run across. And so he showed some of that stuff we saw against UNO. Like we said yesterday, he stayed low in the zone. His stuff had good movement on it. Looked much closer to 100% than he did the past weekend against Valparaiso.
But kind of a collective sigh of relief that Oldham was out there and able to compete.
Because you really do need that midweek starter. And you've had that the last couple of years. And you feel like you have that potentially in Billy Oldham, who can give you some consistency. So those were five really strong innings. And Cross Sively, we talked about off air, was really, really good. Again, three innings complete, didn't give up a base hit or run, struck out three. And then Justin Storm came in and closed it out. I think the biggest deal with the pitching, we can talk offensively too, because they had a great day as well. But three total walks. And this southeastern Louisiana, one of the top teams in the country in taking walks and being hit by pitches.
And stealing
bases. And I thought Blake Johnson did a pretty good job keeping them, for the most part, where they were. They stole a couple of bases, as they're always going to do. But it was a really complete effort. Starting pitching to relief. And then at the plate, you had four multi-hit guys. And you got some big, big swings with runners on base, which has been the bugaboo this year.
Right.
But I think you got to be happy with just about every phase of the game, the way the Golden Eagles played last night.
You have to wonder if that first game with Valpo wasn't kind of a hitting of the snooze alarm. You better wake up, because conference play starts this weekend. And look, you talk about swimming in deep water early,
man,
with the Bobcats, and you have to go to San Marcos.
Yeah,
and they're doing all kinds of things offensively. Texas State
offensively, and Levi Wells, their Friday night guy. I mean, 0.51 ERA. He'll good chance to be a first day guy in the MLB draft this coming July. And so they're not a whole lot of weaknesses there. They're knocking on the door of the top 25 too. They're 4-0 against Power 5 competition, beat a top 15 TCU last night 8-4, and it really wasn't quite that close last night in midweek action for the Bobcats. So it really does not slow down. I mean, you look at the schedule. Texas State, come back home, you play Georgia Southern, who was a regional team last year. Then you go to Troy, who's been one of the best teams in the Sun Belt and non-conference play. And then you go to Old Dominion, who's one of the best offenses in the country again. That's their first month of conference play. not a whole lot of gaps in that schedule.
No, and you might know where you're going to fit in the pecking order after.
Oh, yes.
Instead of coming to that last series of the year, you might know pretty well where you're going to be. And look, Coastal's been putting up double digits just about every time they play.
That's right.
We've talked about how there's really no pushovers here, no weak sisters in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to
Coastal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've been putting up all kinds of numbers. But considering where the Eagle Nation, and we say that because we know that Eagle fans are notorious for being fair weather and jumping off the boat at the first sign of a leak. After the first game in Valpo, they got to be feeling a lot better about where this Eagle team is going to San Marcos this weekend.
Yeah, and that's the thing is baseball is a long season. There are going to be ups and downs. And, Exhibit A is Ole Miss last year. They had that really long stretch where they were just awful. And you had spots last year, too. I mean, you get swept by Dallas Baptist in Dallas, and you were down on the team. And I think you've had a couple of spots here earlier this season because the competition is better. But I think these Golden Eagles are going to be okay.
And this schedule is brutal, tougher than it was last year.
Scott Berry said in the preseason, one of, if not the toughest schedule he's had as a head coach.
And they're 11-5.
Yeah.
So I think the Eagles are doing quite well. One of Ben's buddies will be on the program tomorrow, and that's Heath Hinton, of course, a big Gold Nation. He'll get us up to date. We'll also talk a little spring football and then get you ready for the weekend series against the Bobcats. That's all on tomorrow's Eagle Hour. For producer engineer Michael Mergens and the brash youngster Ben Milam, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss
to the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.